The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
Well, that fanfare says it's time to go to the movies with Matt Olean. And Matt, this week the movie is The Aftermath.
Yeah, British-made film by director James Kent, who directed Testament of Youth 5 years ago, which was a phenomenal movie about World War I. This one isn't quite up to that, up to those standards. It's a film about the end of the war, the end of World War II in Hamburg. And Jason Clarke, a New Zealand-born actor, plays a British colonel who is there in the British sector as they're kind of, you know, occupying Germany at the end of World War II. His wife joins him, played by Keira Knightley. There's a deep, dark secret that we don't quite get at the beginning. You can tell when they first see each other, there's some tension between them in the marriage. Now, they are allowed to live at a big house of a architect, Herr Lubert, played by Alexander Skarsgård. Now, in the occupation of Germany and some other countries, high-ranking officials were allowed to live in homes. And the Germans who had those homes had to clear out and go somewhere else. But early on in the film, Jason Clarke is somewhat sympathetic to Herr Lubert, played by Skarsgård, and allows he and his daughter to stay in the house with them. And, you know, initially you're like, is this a mistake? Is this not a mistake? They live in separate parts of the house. So that's the plot. I think they're is a good film buried underneath all of this. But unfortunately, soap opera kind of takes over immediately.
Huh.
Everything is telegraphed, Doug. You know there's a love triangle. You know what's going to happen. You know the tension that's going to be there once Skarsgård is in the house. Keira Knightley has not enough to do during the daytime as, you know, Jason Clarke goes off to manage the war and the refugees and all the kind of anti-British sentiment that's going on. There are still factions. That's a subplot, Doug. Factions of the German public that are angry about the end of the war that still are supportive of Hitler and the Nazis. There's sabotage going on as they're trying to kill British soldiers. This is the British sector of Hamburg. So there's an interesting story somewhere in there. This is a time period that has not produced a lot of films, Doug. Kind of that end of the war, I think, is fascinating in Europe. We've had a couple big films like The Third Man, Judgment at Nuremberg, yeah. But really it's an underdeveloped genre, and I kept hoping I was going to get something, and what I really got was a love triangle, essentially. And the film just never takes off. It's handsomely mounted. Keira Knightley is good as she always is. But the characters are really underdeveloped, especially the two male characters. You never quite connect with any of them. You never really care what's going to happen to these three characters, even though I knew from the beginning how the film was going to end. And so it's kind of lifeless. It just doesn't have that sting in the tail. It needed something extra. There's a subplot involving Skarsgård's daughter and her relation to one of the Hitler youth still running around, and that kind of becomes interesting. But you know, maybe the more interesting story would have been how the Brits are dealing with the Germans in Hamburg. But it really is not there because it's mostly a soap opera with Knightley, Skarsgård, and Jason Clarke.
I hear your comments here about this genre of films because this was all out war. Hamburg was bombed and bombed and bombed. So it is interesting to see how people knit their lives back together again after that kind of conflagration.
It is. And the Keira Knightley character and the Alexander Skarsgård character both have a secret, something they've lost. And again, go see the film. Don't want to give too much away here. That is really kind of what kind of drives those two characters. So that's interesting, kind of this loss, this thing that happened to each of them separately in separate lives, both back in Great Britain with her and in Hamburg with Herr Lubert, who's a very wealthy man. He's made a lot of money. You know, what relationship does he have to the Nazis? Was he a collaborator? Was he just kind of a silent guy? That's what we find out in the film as well. You know, Skarsgård plays him sympathetically. You do see how Jason Clarke would be sympathetic to his plight as they're taking over his house, basically, in Hamburg. As I said, the film, it starts promisingly enough, but it never delivers. It never gets to that tension that we want, that emotional bond we want with the characters. Oh, I want this to happen. I want this to happen to these characters. It never comes. There's an action scene climax that comes, and it's so quick and so kind of under-directed, that that doesn't really work as well.
Hmm. So is it the writing? Is it the direction? Something doesn't work.
You know, it's
you.
Based on a novel, Doug, so my guess is there's something lost in the translation from book to screen. And with the screen adaptation, it probably focuses more on the soap opera, the love triangle. And I suspect in the book, though I don't know, there's probably more subplotting going on with the British sector and kind of that anti-British feeling among some with the German population. Of course, as you know, Doug, once the Marshall Plan went into effect, you know, West Germany became an ally.
Yes, a very important ally.
It did not take long for the Germans who had rejected Hitler and rejected the Soviets to become great friends with Great Britain and the U.S., just like Japan. It did not take long. So that's an interesting time period, how these two defeated enemies could become two of our greatest partners and greatest friends so quickly after that war. But getting there was difficult. And you see the rubble in Hamburg in the film. You see the bombed out buildings. You see the people starving. And Jason Clarke, basically he and his British commanders occupying the sector, they don't know what to do with them. There's not enough food. There's not enough supplies. There's not enough housing. And that's the real story, I think. That's where an interesting film could be made. There was a film like that called The Search with Montgomery Clift, which came out after the war, where he's a U.S. serviceman over in one of these sectors, you know, whether it's Austria or Berlin or wherever. So there's an interesting story there, but I think it basically comes off as a period love triangle. Keira Knightley looks great in some of the dresses. She is one of my favorite actresses. She always delivers a good performance. But even her character, though the best – she's the better developed character. You know, we get to learn more about her past. It still doesn't quite become this, you know, juggernaut performance by her. She's not allowed to really flex her muscles as an actress.
Well, I'm interested in this point in history, mm-hmm. so I'm intrigued by the film. I guess I'm a little concerned about its quality now, but
yeah,
nevertheless.
I don't think it's going to make a ton of money. But
here's our Oscar trivia question this week. Best actor and best actress – have each had one tie mm-hmm. in the history of the Oscars. Name the years, the actors, and the films.
So 1932 for Best Actor was Wallace Beery in The Champ and Frederick March, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And
right.
then in 68 was Katharine Hepburn, The Lion in Winter, and Barbara Streisand in Funny Girl.
All right. We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.